Question everything.
Hello, my beautiful open-minded souls. Welcome back to Question Everything. I am super excited about this episode. I did so much research on this, and not only that, but I have some really exciting things to talk about. Everything we're going to be talking about today is going to raise a lot of questions, and I'm excited for it. It's only been 4 days since my bonus, and I feel like a lifetime of shit has happened in between those days. Well, first of all, I forgot to mention, my name is Kelsey, if you're new here. I talk about quote-unquote conspiracy theories. All right, so I know this is a conspiracy theory podcast, but I just have to talk about this because my blood is still boiling and it needs to be talked about. I'm not going to ignore the fact that this actually happened yesterday and it's going on in the news right now, of course. So Breonna Taylor's murders. It's murderers, right? So her murderers weren't charged for her death. They were charged because they shot through the neighbor's wall in her apartment. Like, how pathetic is that? Honestly, this just ties into the corruptness that goes on in our system. Like, conspiracy theory or not, our system is absolute trash. And I know that a lot of my listeners have told me that they don't appreciate me saying defund the police or abolish the police or whatever. But I'm not even blaming the cops themselves, like, individually. I mean, they do have the responsibility to take action or not on whatever corruptness they are under. But I do blame the system. And that's why I keep saying abolish the police or defund the police. And I don't even mean by, like, getting rid of the police completely, but literally taking it down, reprogramming it, putting the money somewhere else where it's needed. Like, teachers right now are struggling. And it's so insane to me that these cops they probably don't get paid as much, but they get more money than the education system. I mean, we know that the education system is run by the Rothschilds or whatever, but still, it's their job, you know? Like, ugh. Oh my god, this is so frustrating. So, at this point, I feel like they are purposely just trying to make us mad, because all we wanted was justice for her, and instead we got a magazine cover, a bunch of memes, her name painted on a street sign, like, everything but justice. Her family even got, like, $12 million or something like that. Like, all we wanted was for these people to get what they deserved. And I know that Black Lives Matter, like I said a billion times, if you're new here, I'm just going to reiterate it. The organization itself is corrupt and the people behind it are corrupt. But the injustice and racism that still goes on in this country is real. It might not be to the extent of how it was a couple decades ago, but it's still there. And we clearly have been seeing that more and more lately. So yeah, Black lives do matter. And I understand the circumstances of why the police were there in the first place, because I guess she had a warrant for her being involved in a drug cartel or something to do with drugs. But first of all, you don't shoot a woman who is sleeping. I guess her boyfriend was the person who shot first at the cops. But I mean, in his defense, they did wake them up in the middle of the night and just knock their door down. I mean, I would have probably had a heart attack. I mean, I don't have a gun near my bed, but I would have gotten a bat or something and be like, what the fuck? So, I mean, I don't know. I can't fathom that. They just shot her while she was sleeping and they're walking away free. Like, this isn't fair. They really just want to piss us off and piss off the people who are protesting, who have been protesting for months now about this just to get justice. And I mean, in reality, they do these things to get a reaction out of us, instill fear in us. So, I mean, I don't know what they're really trying to do behind. I just feel like the veil is getting lifted every day and the truth is coming out and people are seeing how corrupt this is. So, sorry, I just had to get that out of the way. And I send her family lots of love and I'm so, so sorry, Breonna. We failed you. Okay, next on the list of tea is Jeffrey Epstein's second flight log. There's been news that it's going to be released, or it has been released. I did find one that people have been talking about. I don't think that's the new one that the judge is going to be releasing. But basically, the reason they are going to release a new one is because the first one wasn't complete. And we know Jeffrey's lawyer, Alan Dershowitz, I think, had his back the whole time. And he was the one who submitted the first list. But apparently there's a bigger list that makes the first one look like a post-it note. And I saw one that was posted on Twitter. I don't know if it's the real one, but they said it's the second new one. And lo and behold, Alan Dershowitz is on the same list. And he's the lawyer that submitted the original list. So more truth is coming out soon, I hope. I feel like the closer we get to the elections, the more chaotic it's going to get. And honestly, look at everything that's happening right now. I just suggest you guys all try to keep your vibrations high and not let this energy get you down. So, okay, another thing I want to talk about in this tea section is how Russia is claiming Venus as their planet. I did post a TikTok on it, and I posted it on my Instagram, how Putin knows about the reptilians. So this is just a thought I had. What if Russia and other countries know everything we're going through, as in pedophiles, reptilians, secret government, and over there they aren't claiming them as conspiracy theories, but they are actually reporting these as facts? Because obviously we don't see their news, so what if they know and we're looking like clowns over here fighting against each other while the secret government is literally laughing at us? And the whole world is laughing at us. I'm just saying, I mean, I know I have some listeners from other countries, and some have reported that they have family in Turkey who have talked about Pizzagate and in full detail have explained it on the news. So I want to know how they portray the United States to you guys, and if they have mentioned anything about these conspiracy theories, or if Putin really did openly talk about these reptilians. But then again, wouldn't Putin be one too, since he is a leader? Also, I'm just going to address this because it will lead us into the next thing I want to cover before we get into the hollow earth theory. So this guy came onto my page. I guess he found me on the explore page, and he commented on that specific post of Russia wanting to claim Venus. And he wasn't very nice. I'm not going to say what he said, but you guys can go check it out. But he basically tried to discredit me and the things I talk about by stating that he studied physics in college and all this stuff. So I just want to remind you guys that quantum physics is the core to understanding how the universe works and how shifting reality works and how all the shift of dimension and all that talk works. I've seen so many scientists talk about the possibilities beyond our perception through quantum physics. And it's just funny that he used that as an argument when scientists literally have proven that magic is real. Which leads me into these new books I got, which I'm really excited to talk about. Okay, so the first one is called Real Magic. It's by Dean Radin. I did post it on my story on Instagram, and I did post it as a TikTok, but I want to talk more in depth on it because I haven't finished it, but I want to talk about what I've read, and it's very interesting so far. So he is a science professor and has a PhD, and his whole career is based on him studying the powers of the universe. He talks about how he doesn't understand why people immediately dismiss the Illuminati, Bigfoot, ghosts, and other phenomena when there have been studies done that prove it is real. He says that scientists tend to stray away from these topics or fully avoid studying them because the mainstream media has made it seem like if you believe in any of these, or if you want to study these, you're a lunatic fringe. And word for word, he says this in his book. It's kind of funny. So I got this book to study more about the universe and our powers, ideally, just because I do tie in my research with spirituality. This book isn't even in the category of conspiracy theories or anything like that. So I find it interesting that he mentioned these things specifically, like the Illuminati and all Bigfoot and all that stuff. I literally gasped because I was like, aren't we talking about the universe powers? I mean, they all connect. It all connects. I knew something was going to be mentioned, but I didn't know he was straight up going to be like, the Illuminati is real. And the occult practices are real, or anything like that. So he specifies in parapsychology, which is the study of alleged psychic phenomena and other paranormal claims, for example, related to near-death experiences, synchronicity, apparitional experiences, kind of like what the scientists did in the OA. If you have seen the OA, the scientist was studying near-death experiences and how to basically shift dimensions. And I know it's a show, but we all know about predictive programming. And I will be talking more about predictive programming in other movies in regards to the Hollow Earth theory, but kind of correlates. And so after graduate school, he focused on the relationship between the brain and the mind. So our cognitive and perceptual capacities and our consciousness. He posed the question of where does our consciousness come from and what is its purpose? And he clearly stated that no one knows. He says maybe consciousness is generated by the brain, but maybe it isn't. He even goes on to saying that some neurophilosophers don't even believe awareness exists, and awareness is basically consciousness. They think awareness is a brain-centric illusion. And that just blows my mind because, in a way, since we are conscious in this reality, aka we are aware, then it's proving that everything is an illusion. Studies do find is that without consciousness, there obviously wouldn't be a you. So how they study this is from the outside in, analyzing the concepts, logic, and assumptions used to describe consciousness, typically measuring the activity of the brain and body or by people reporting their experiences. But he compared it to how meditators study consciousness, so people who meditate, and they do it from the inside out by introspection, which is basically how I study my own consciousness, I guess you could say. The way he does it is a little different. He says he studies it by investigating psychic phenomena, aka telepathy, clairvoyance, precognition, psychokinesis. So what does parapsychology have to do with magic? He said that after decades of conducting psi experiments, publishing many journal articles describing the results, and reviewing thousands of other experiments, he's come to accept that psi is a real phenomenon. And he bases his assessment on the fact that telepathy, clairvoyance, precognition, and psychokinetic effects have all been independently repeated in laboratories around the world. The effects they see in the lab tend to be rather small because by design they must be demonstrated on demand and under strictly controlled conditions. But the magnitude of an effect is irrelevant if you're interested in whether the effect exists. And I mean, this just got me thinking that if an independent experiment or scientist can find this stuff on their own, don't you think that the government is full of witches or full of these secret experiments? I mean, by now, this is just a fact to me. But to other people who are consumed by the media and the outside world, they won't even give this a chance. I'm just going to mention one more thing that he says, also because I haven't finished the book, but I'll probably continue talking about it in other episodes. But he says that in reality, we use magic every day. Once we discovered electricity, it was considered science. And now since it's so accessible, we don't even refer to it as magic. But before electricity or the light bulb, people would have thought that this was an insane idea. But then there was light. I'm just saying there is a lot of things that either one, scientists avoid getting into because of the mainstream media or the mainstream talk. Two, in reality, they really don't know everything yet. Because, and I will talk about this, most of what they have come to conclusion of or other scientists have predicted are mainly theories. And I, like I said, I will talk about it because we're going to get into the theory of gravity and all that. So laws of physics can't be broken, but they are constantly changing. Just remember that. Okay, so this is the second book that I want to talk about. And yes, I read like 6 books at one time. I know not a lot of people can do that, or they always question how I have so many books and how I have time to read all of them. I literally just pick one up, read like 4 chapters, pick the other one up, read like 4 chapters. I also carry bookmarks and highlighters with me everywhere, so I like to highlight important things. And yeah, I just like reading a bunch of things at once, especially if they kind of relate. So this second book is called The Three Waves of Volunteers by Dolores Cannon. And I know a lot of you guys have been suggesting that I pick up one of her books. And damn, I am late to the game and I heavily regret not getting these books before. I mean, I only have one right now, but I'm for sure going to buy her other ones. For those of you who don't know who Dolores Cannon is, she is a hypnotherapist specializing in past life regression, has been doing this for 50 years. She also has a YouTube channel, so if you want to check her out, she has amazing content. But she does this mainly to clear up trauma, diseases, pain, or any questions that someone might have in regards to why their life is going the way it is, why they can't find their purpose, etc., etc. So this book specifically relates to a lot of things that we are experiencing right now. She released this in 2011, and she talks about the three waves of people who came to Earth to essentially save humanity. Mind you, I got this book after I said that I think we're all extraterrestrials. And I mean, I've talked about starseeds before and how they are here to help humanity and all that stuff. And I've always felt that we're not all human or we're here for a different reason. And I also think my intuition has been onto something because she talks about how we're all literally from different dimensions or planets and that most of us haven't experienced a lifetime on Earth before. She begins by talking about life on Earth and how humans were created. And the reason I'm talking about this is because I hope this will resonate with someone listening and maybe you will start to wake up to the reason or purpose of why you are here. She claims to know all these things because of how many people she has put under hypnosis who have gone back in time and have all similar stories. So I'm going to share how she explained that life on Earth began. And before I begin, she even says, "I know this information is controversial, but when the same information has come to me over and over in thousands of regressions, I feel I cannot ignore it." She goes on to mention that eons ago, there was no life on Earth. There was many volcanoes and the atmosphere was full of ammonia. The planet had been changed for life to begin. She mentions the councils that govern our galaxies, the universe, and the planets, such as the Galactic Federation of Light that I always talk about. But she says there's a lot of councils. It's a very ordered system. So these higher beings go throughout the universe creating life and rules and regulations. And honestly, from her explanation, I'm starting to believe that we as humans on this planet are an experiment to them, and you'll see why. So she said that various ETs or higher beings are given assignments to begin life on certain planets. These beings are called the Ancient Ones. They have been doing this since the beginning of time. However, before anyone screams at me about God and his creation, this does not eliminate his existence at all. And I'll get to her description of God, which fascinates me because it's identical to the one I have been intuitively knowing my whole life. So her explanation of how humans were created was by them combining an ape with their cells, which ironically coincides with the reptilian theory that we're not all human. Coincidence? I don't think so. But Kelsey, how did we evolve? Okay, well, these higher beings kept coming time and time again to gift us with certain items to evolve with. So when intelligent beings were created here on Earth, the council gave us free will. This is where I think we are an experiment. They gave us this to see what we would do with it because there are planets with other life on them who have no free will at all. So because we have free will, they can teach us and share knowledge, aka when we astral project, or when we get spiritual downloads, or when people channel them, or when they gave Germany the technology to create spacecraft, but they cannot interfere. And in a session, she asked, "Isn't that technically interference?" And they responded with, "No, it's a gift. We give to you for the next stage in your development. What you do with it, it's your free will." So this is where the story of the Garden of Eden comes into play. She says that we were supposed to be this perfect species that would never get sick, but something they didn't see coming hit Earth. Meteors. If you don't get that reference, I sound like an idiot, but I'm sure everyone should get that by now. Anyways, So this meteor brought in diseases, aka how the dinosaurs died, and also ties back into what I talked about in the bonus of how ancient aliens also believe that meteorites brought in bacteria, which is absolutely blowing my mind because, like I said, I started reading this book after I posted the bonus episode, and then all these synchronicities of information just keep coming at me. I feel like all this information is coming at me at the same time from different sources, which makes me feel that what I'm sharing needs to be shared. All this information isn't coming out all at once. Like, I just happened to watch that episode of Ancient Aliens, which was released probably like in 2005 or whatever. And then Elizabeth Abril just released another video, which kind of talks about the same thing. And then this book was written in 2011. I just happened to come across all this information all at once, which is insane to me. Okay, so I'm going to continue sharing it. Okay, so remember how I mentioned that the 1940s are significant to the world basically ending, and I feel like World War II opened a portal or something? Well, she began to explain that during those times, the council wasn't very happy with us. I've talked about the atomic bomb in my fluoride episode and the GMO episode, but apparently we weren't supposed to have atomic power at that stage in our evolution. They knew we would not be able to control it and solemnly use it for destruction, which we did. They were eventually going to introduce the atomic power to us, but it was intended for good. So it was during that time, during the 1940s and the 50s, that the UFO sightings began to be publicized. The higher beings went back to the council and asked what they were supposed to do since they can't interfere with us, but wanted to help us. So the council decided that they can't interfere from the outside, but they can help from the inside. This is where the three waves of volunteers come in. This just gives me chills because all this information validates my feelings and intuitive beliefs that I've had since I was a kid. So because we were so destructive and kept fucking up even more after the 40s, it was creating a prison planet, aka souls kept reincarnating to fulfill their karma, but they weren't fulfilling their karma because everything kept getting destroyed. At that rate, we weren't evolving how we should have. So when Jesus and the other great prophets came down to earth, I mean, I know that was before the 1940s, but she mentions this in this section, basically making them also ETs, higher beings. They were put here to teach people to get off this wheel of karma and to help us evolve. But obviously this did not work, hence the damage we created and all the wars, etc., etc. So what Dolores started noticing was that in each of her regressions, most souls weren't from Earth. Most of them came directly from God, aka light beings, or came from the council, ETs. And now I'm going to describe the way she described God. So all her clients have described him the same way. And first of all, he's not a man. If anything, he would have been a woman because woman and the feminine energy are the creative force. But God is neither a man or a woman. It's a huge source of all energy described as an immense fire or light, which makes me feel so at ease because, like I've mentioned before, that's how I've always pictured it. It's an energy of pure love, which runs through all of us, making us all one. We're all connected. We all have the universal divine source within us, which basically means we're all created by God, even the councils and the ETs. That's why the beginning part doesn't dismiss God completely, because we all are made from that source, if that makes sense. I've also gotten a lot of questions of when I talk about how I see God, and people are like, then what is Satan if he isn't a man either? Well, it's the opposite of the energy God provides, which would be fear, hatred, lower vibrating frequencies. It's all energy. But of course, these entities or lower vibrations can also interact with humans or interact as shadows and other scary looking things, just like how the high vibrational beings can also become lights, orbs, angel looking beings. Essentially, these names are just a way for us to conceptualize these forces without getting too complex in our head. Okay, so who are a part of the volunteers and what are we here for? So you, my friend, are a part of these three waves. The first wave was the people born between the late 40s after World War II, hence they had to do something about it, early 50s, 60s, the second wave, 70s and 80s, and the third wave is the 90s and the 2000s. So all these people, including you, have forgotten why you're here. you feel like you have a bigger purpose on Earth, and she noticed some slight differences in between each stage. So the first stage of people like to be alone. They don't like violence. They yearn for a home, even though they don't know what home is. They feel out of place. They just feel like something is missing. Most of them do have a good job, a loving family, a good life, but a majority of them have suicidal thoughts or end up committing suicide because they don't want to be here. This also ties in with a lot of the other waves too. Some can't even explain it, but she said that majority can't handle Earth's 3D density because where we come from is a light source being of a higher dimension, aka very floaty, very light, very high vibrating. The second wave are generally focused on helping others. They have come in with a unique energy that greatly affects others. They generally don't like being around people. The first and second wave, for the most part, do not want to have children. They unconsciously realize that children create karma, and if they create karma, then they will have to reincarnate on Earth again. The third wave, which includes me and probably a lot of my listeners. Okay, when I read this, I was like, whoa, okay, this makes a lot of sense. So we came in with all the knowledge at a unconscious level. The DNA of all the people already on Earth is being altered at the present time and changed in order to adjust to the new vibrations and frequencies with the new world, aka what we're transitioning into now. But the DNA of the new children, aka millennials, Gen Z, has already been altered, and we are prepared to proceed with little to no problems. But because of this, most of us are diagnosed with ADHD. And I'm living proof of that because I am clinically diagnosed with ADHD. She said that we are just more advanced in operating on a different frequency. Because we are so subconsciously intelligent, we easily get bored, especially in school. She was told by the council that we constantly need challenges to keep us interested, which I can fully agree to. But we are specifically important because the council calls us the hope of the world. Well, that's a lot of pressure. She says that she has received emails from kids and teens from all over the world, or even other people from other stages from the other waves, who have thanked her for her books because they help them with reassurance that they aren't alone and what they are feeling is valid, aka exactly what I've been feeling my whole life too, which is not feeling at home, feeling like something's missing, feeling like I have a greater purpose, but I don't know what it is, or serious thoughts of suicide or depression. It's because we can't handle the vibrations on Earth and we're like homesick. And some of you might be wondering, well, then the other theories of reincarnation that have been reported of others who believe they were once Jesus or they were Queen Elizabeth or Princess Diana, how can that be possible if we're not all from Earth? So it's funny because, again, ironically, like I said, all this information was just thrown at me. Elizabeth's new video talks about how she was shown this life of this man and she was living in it. But she said that she has never had a past life regression of her being this man before, and it didn't feel like she was actually living this life. But the reason Source showed her this was because we have not been on Earth before. So we go to the hive mind, or better known as library, Akashic Records. So they take us here first before we enter Earth to imprint all these lives in our mind to get us used to what we will experience on Earth. And sometimes we remember these lives consciously, which come through as people assuming they reincarnated as them, like that one kid that said he was Princess Diana. But like I said, we are the wave of full knowledge, at least the third wave is. So we have been shown all these lives to attain that knowledge, to adapt to Earth. This is such a complicated idea, but it's strange that she posted this, and then Dolores, who wrote this book in 2011, and then I just happened to pick it up this week, also says the same thing. I'm telling you guys, this is some strange synchronicity that I believe I was shown for a reason, and mainly to share to you guys, and it's actually really amazing. So the way she writes her books is by dialogue. She records the sessions of these hypnosis and then writes the dialogues for each of her sessions in her book, of course, with further explanation and And this book specifically, she probably has over 20 dialogues of different sessions. And I've only read the first five so far, but most of the clients have come to her because essentially, like I said, hypnotherapy is to clear trauma or illness and diseases. She basically goes to the core root of these diseases and such by going within. And this one girl specifically had leukemia and a tumor in her throat. I have always known that most, if not all, physical problems can manifest from certain blockages in our vibrational frequencies. So hers was coming from her subconscious of not wanting to be here anymore. She was disappointed in how her life was going, didn't have a good relationship with her husband, and wouldn't speak out her truth, which is why she developed a tumor in her throat. She was also not following her intuition, which led her down all these dark paths. So what usually happens is the counsel or the higher self comes through the patient during this hypnotherapy and talks in third person. And some of you might say, isn't she getting possessed? Or because it kind of seems like that because this person's like under, but they're talking in third person. And it kind of looks creepy. But no, it's not possession. It's like the higher self, higher source, since we are source. It's just talking for us. It's our subconscious talking. So basically, the subconscious is explaining why she has all this struggle or disease. And by the end, the higher beings clear up all the damage and give the patient a push to further trust their intuition so these diseases can fully heal. Okay, so I'm not going to read all the dialogues, but I want to mention that most of them always mention that their purpose is to help humanity. They came here to raise the vibrations of others, to help them remember why they're here, and to spread love. And I'm just going to read a couple. Like I said, the person who is talking is their higher self. So it sounds like they are talking in third person, but they're not. So let me find a couple that I want to share. So in this one, she's talking to a girl named Louise. And I'm just going to read a section. Dolores asks, but isn't that a part of the test to forget when you come to Earth? And Louise said, no, actually, I think that when we raise their consciousness on Earth more and more, they're going to remember. That's what all of us want to do for them here. So they will treat each other better, so they will not have to suffer to learn their lessons. It's not necessary. That's what has to be done. And Dolores says, it's easier to simply remember without suffering. Is this what you mean? She said, yes. And then Dolores asks, but humans don't listen, do they? And Louise said, no, not always. And then Dolores said, do you know you're speaking through a body that's living now as Louise? And Louise said, yes, but this is my home in this lifetime. Dolores said, I was wondering if this was before she entered the body of Louise. And Louise said, this is also before and also after. The way she was, okay, so little backstory, I guess this doesn't make sense if you're just hearing this. But she's explaining all her experiences before she came into this lifetime. And where she comes from, which is like the light source. So then she got into this conversation because of why she forgot why she's here. Dolores then asks, so after she finishes here, she will go back to the same place? And Louise said, yes. And then Dolores said, but if she was so happy there and it is so beautiful there, why did she decide to come back as Louise on Earth? And Louise said, before Louise, I was a volunteer to go to Earth. So basically, these all volunteered to come and help raise the vibrations and frequencies, like I said. Another section that I just want to read from this dialogue. Louise said, well, Dolores asked, what was she supposed to contribute? Louise said, teaching people how to think, teaching people how to love, teaching people how to care for one another, teaching people how to have faith, teaching people how to create peace, teaching people how to overcome disease, teaching people how to be connected to nature, that the essence of despair is connection, teaching people that they can be with one another in harmony, teaching people that war is something that could end a life. And Dolores said, those are all wonderful things, but when we come to Earth, it becomes hard, doesn't it? And Louise said, right, but there are so many other ones. See, some of us forget, but the other ones were not us. Those are new. They are just learning. Different levels, different things to contribute, different lessons to learn. And also some from different areas, some had more human lives. And actually, there are also other ones from other galaxies that have come. And then Dolores said, also, there are ones who have been coming back again and again. And Louise said, yes. And then Dolores said, are they the ones that are more stuck on the wheel of karma? Louise said, yes. And that's why outsiders come to help them. Many people want to be helped, but they put themselves into their own boxes. They know they want to be helped. It's just that they get so stuck in their point of view. They get so stuck in their limitations of the moment in time in their bodies that they don't believe they have anything else. They want to help without doing anything different. They think that all there is the body or the food or the place or the sight. Louise gets stuck at times. She had other lifetimes that she also remembered. This time she came to remember who she was and what she came to do. She's doing a good job, but not as a good job as we would have liked. So technically in this section, she explains how some beings from other galaxies or ETs do get stuck in this karmic wheel because they forget why they're here. So they just get stuck on planet Earth. And if you get stuck in the karmic wheel, you can't leave this planet, essentially. Oh my God, there is a section in the next chapter where she talks about 2012. And there has been a lot of talk that 2012 was the beginning of the kind of the Aquarius season and the new world and us shifting to a different dimension. So she talks about how not all of us are going to go to this new world and the new dimension because we're not all aware of why we're here. And those who aren't following their intuition or aren't in tune with their higher self or their frequencies will not move on to the next dimension. She did this session on a guy named Richard, who was an older man, but he explains what is going on Earth right now. And that was during 2011. Like I said, I'm just going to keep referring that because I feel like at this moment in time, a lot of things are even crazier than they were then. So Richard said, it was explained to me that the vibrations are getting faster. It's causing a force, a different force, and you either go with the vibrations and make yours faster or you get stuck. And most people on Earth are refusing to raise their vibrations, so that means that two forces are becoming stronger, opposing if they are not together. They are further apart and eventually soon it will cause something to happen on the planet. Dolores said, like two magnets. And Richard said, two magnets. Instead of two opposites attracting, opposites in this case repel very badly. Will repel and cause something negative to take place or positive depending on what side you are on. So this is what I mean that not everyone's going to shift to the fifth dimension essentially or higher consciousness because a lot of people are refusing to raise their vibrations. So the opposing energy is going to cause something catastrophic to happen. And at this point, I'm just assuming that it's going to relate to maybe the solar flare or I don't know, maybe that's what caused all these fires and all this tension and COVID. I don't know. I would contradict the pandemic theory and it would contradict a lot of other theories. But another person in here also talks about that a lot of people are very greedy and they just want control. And I mean, I think she's referring to mostly like the elite and all those other people that are trying to control our lives and the people in charge of the New World Order. So that just kind of confirms that. She says that that's why we're going down the wrong path also because we have free will. So this one is by a client. Her name was Susan. So Dolores said, have you brought information before that you think has been misused? And Susan said at different times. And Dolores said, did you just give it to everyone when you came before? Susan said, no. And Dolores said, who did you give it to at those times? This group or another group? AKA like this generation or an eviler group of people. Susan said, another group. This isn't the first time there has been disaster on this planet. Dolores said, what caused it the other times? Susan said, the manipulation of matter, the manipulation of natural law and matter for human gain. Now, this will just blow your mind because this correlates to everything happening on in regards to GMOs and the vaccines and literally implanting chips into our brains by Elon Musk. So Dolores just adds this and she said, they have told me this many times and it's been reported in many other books. There have been many civilizations on Earth, distant past, that had reached the height of perfection only to be brought down by man's inherent greed for power. Like I mentioned, there is these powerful beings on Earth that are very greedy and just want power. Sound familiar? So in this other section, Dolores asks, so these were times when civilization was destroyed in the past. And Susan said, yes, because I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast or where I mentioned it before, but we do all shift to different timelines depending on the choices we make and depending on our vibrations and all that. Like I said, different timelines mean you're going to split into different dimensions, just how in the OA it forks off. So that's what I mean by not everyone's going to go to the 5D. So in this one, she says, so these were times when civilizations were destroyed in the past. And then Susan said, yes. And then Dolores said, but you have come now to meet with these people and you mentioned that something else is going to happen. Susan says, oh, this is Susan's higher self. Like I said, these are all their higher selves. It's not them because they're talking in third person. We're concerned with the seed thought forms of greed that are circulating in the minds of these people. Dolores asked, what is the advice you're going to give this group? And Susan said, seize experiments with natural law. And then Dolores is like, what experience are they doing that's against natural law? Okay, what are we doing? Like, what? And Susan said, gene manipulation, genetic manipulation. Dolores said, why are they doing that? Susan said, because they can, because they are powerful. And then Dolores said, how are they doing gene manipulation? And Susan said, I'm not sure that can be shared. Like I said, that would be interfering. And then Dolores said, you don't think I should know about it? And Susan said, it's not you. Dolores said, what will happen if they continue what they are doing? And Susan said, destruction. She also talks about astral projection and how we can literally go through the portal at any time we would like and go into our light body and gain knowledge from them to help humans. She talks about how the human soul is capable of being in many places at once. Like I said, I just started reading this one too, and I'm reading both of them at the same time, but these sessions are so interesting, and it's crazy how different they talk than the actual person. And like I said, it sounds like they're getting possessed, but they're not, because they're subconscious and their higher self speaking through. And most of the times these patients feel amazing afterwards because, like I said, they're clearing up that trauma and that confusion of why they're here. And Dolores essentially gives them a purpose to be here and doesn't essentially give them all the information because that would be interfering. But she does give them an outline of what they need to do next and to listen to their intuition, which I've been trying to tell you guys to do. But I think it's crazy how they mentioned genetically modified, how they are interfering with the natural law. And that's what they're doing right now. And I'm sure they've been doing it forever. But essentially what they're doing now with all this technology is making us basically AI and making us half robot, half human. So I don't want to know what happens next. But I know if we all raise our vibrations and try to wake more people up, like I said, we are all here for a reason. So I hope this resonated with someone. And I hope maybe you can dream about this maybe and get clarification, because they do say that if you hear someone talk about past lives, you sometimes have a dream about it, or you can astral project easier, all that. Just know to protect your energy, and sending you guys good vibes if you do that. Okay, sorry, I just really wanted to talk about that. I'm pretty sure this episode's gonna be super long, but I still want to talk about the hollow earth in this one, so why not make this like a 2-hour episode? Why not? Okay, so before I get into the hollow earth theory, let's remember a couple things. One, the school system was created by the people who control our money, the media, medicine, etc., aka the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. Two, NASA has lied to us before, and they originated as Nazi scientists. Just keep that in mind while I explain this. Okay, so I think the flat earth theory is out the window. At least for me it is. This one seems to make a lot more sense, especially because when people astral travel or remote view, like Elizabeth did, and I've heard a lot of other people talk about this too, some have seen this hollow earth or the beings inside. There is also multiple ancient legends and different cultures who believe that the earth is hollow, most of them relating back to the fact that they all talk about the heavens or hell, the underworld, and they all believe that it's in the middle of the earth, or under us, basically, the underworld, under our feet. Some say it is a physical place, but it's a plane that is in between the spirit and reality. Think of like Avatar. And some ancient legends talk about beings that look like Avatar, and I will talk about that. So first we have to talk about gravity and the science behind it, so it'll make more sense and I'm not just talking out of my ass. So Newton was the first one to discover gravity, and his theory states that every mass attracts every other mass in the universe, and the gravitational force between two bodies is proportional to the product of their masses and inversely proportional to the square of the distance between them. But then Einstein came along and was like, nah, fam, this is how it works. In 1915, his theory of general relativity holds that we perceive as the force of gravity arises from the curvature of space-time. After two neutron stars collided in 2017, it proved that its force is a distortion of space and time, which coincides with Einstein's theory. However, most recently, scientists published in 2019 another study that completely rules out Newton's theory, but still holds on to Einstein's by a thread. And I mean by a thread because they studied S2 star. S2, also known as SO2 or S02, is a star that is located close to the radio source Sagittarius A, orbiting with a period of 16.0518 years, a semi-major axis of about 970 astronomical units, and a paracenter distance of 17 light hours. Scientists know that at some point in a black hole, Einstein's theory stops working. The curvature of space-time is so extreme that Einstein's general relativity fails, said Kip Thorne, a Nobel Prize-winning theoretical physicist at the California Institute of Technology. We don't understand how it works when the thing you're dealing with is extreme. This experiment brings scientists a little closer to understanding. It's definitely exciting, said Zoltan Hayman, a Columbia University astrophysicist. It's pushing the envelope. This is how we get to some place where we discover Einstein's theory no longer works. Hayman said he was in awe of the work researchers had done tracking SO2 from the observatory on Earth to study a tree in Paris from a balcony in New York City. This test is just the beginning, Liu said. Researchers plan to use a new generation of high-powered instruments to conduct more tests of gravity around black holes. For example, they'll keep an eye on SO2 to see if its orbit proceeds as Einstein would have expected, or if it takes a different path around Sagittarius A, suggesting an alternate model of gravity. In the next 10 years, Liu said, we should be able to push Einstein's theory of gravity to its limit and hopefully start to see cracks. And what would this mean for science? It's very hard to predict how new discoveries in fundamental physics will impact our day-to-day lives, Liu said, but a new theory of gravity might help us understand how our universe was born and how we got to where we are today, 13.5 billion years later. So now that we know both theories are being pushed out and essentially we're wrong, could we be wrong about other theories? This ties back into the argument that I had with that one guy. If the smartest well-known scientists got it wrong, or maybe things are changing, don't you think that we truly don't know everything there is to know? Okay, keep an open mind with me here. Let's get into who came up with the hollow earth theory and what is it. So in the late 17th century, British geophysicist, astronomer, and mathematician Edmund Halley, I've heard people pronounce it so many different ways, proposed that the magnetic anomalies of Earth could only be the result of a different composition rather than the one proposed by Newton. He believed that beneath the Earth's crust, it consists of two thick concentric shells, each nestled inside one another. Each one of these concentric shells created their own atmosphere. He also suggested that the interior of the Earth was populated with life and lit by a luminous atmosphere. So basically they had their own sun and light in there. And Elizabeth talked about this too. She said, like, I don't know how they have light in there, but there's so much light when she was remote viewing. He thought the aurora borealis, or the northern lights, was caused by the escape of this gas through a thin crust at the poles. Honestly, there's a lot of theories about the aurora borealis, so that's just a theory that he had. In the 18th century, Leonhard Euler, a Swiss mathematician, replaced the multiple spheres theory with a single hollow sphere, which contained a sun 600 miles wide that provided heat and light for an advanced civilization that lived there. One of the most ardent supporters of the hollow earth was 19th century John Simms. Simms was an ex-army officer and a businessman. He believed that Earth was hollow with the entrances located at the north and south poles. Simms promoted the idea of interior concentric spheres so widely, the alleged opening to the inner world was named Simms Hole. This all sounds insane, especially because we have been taught so differently. But remember, we have to unlearn everything to learn the potential truth. So there has also been video evidence of other planets who all have holes at the entrances of their north and south poles, theorizing that not only is this planet hollow, but other planets are hollow as well. When you look up NASA satellite images of North and South Pole on Earth, it looks like someone photoshopped a gray blob over it, or there are rare photos where you can see big holes. It just doesn't feel right. Also, the fact that planes cannot fly over either poles. There's another strange video that was captured by Russia space station in 1987, where it shows light emanating in a mysterious way out of a hole, which just gets me questioning Russia even more. Russia knows something. After them recently claiming Venus and then proposing that we have reptilians as our leaders, maybe we are portrayed the image that Russia is bad, so we won't listen to them. I mean, Edgar Allan Poe did say, sometimes the best hiding spots are in plain sight. And that just goes for about every theory or everything that I talk about. But I think Russia's onto something. Maybe they know more. Maybe Putin knows something. I don't know. Maybe he's a light worker. I don't know, man. If anyone's listening to this and they live in Russia, let me know. In 1846, the discovery of an extinct woolly mammoth frozen in ice in Siberia was used by Marshall Gardner as evidence of a hollow Earth. Gardner subscribed to the single sun inside the Earth theory and suggested that the mammoth was so well preserved because it had died recently. Gardner thought that mammoths and other extinct creatures wandered freely in the interior of the Earth. Could you imagine that? Like, dinosaurs are just roaming around in the middle of the Earth. Woolly mammoths are just galloping everywhere. I don't know if they gallop, but you know what I mean. This one had wandered outside by using the hole at the North Pole, then was frozen and carried to Siberia on an ice floe. I mean, that could potentially be true. I don't know. Jules Verne wrote Journey to the Center of the Earth in 1864 and Edgar Rice Burroughs, 1875 to 1950. The creator of Martian Adventures and Tarzan of the Apes also wrote novels set in the Hollow Earth. In 1869, Cyrus Reid Teed, a herbalist and self-proclaimed alchemist, proposed an additional theory called the Inverted Earth. He believed that we, our civilization, actually exists on the inside of the globe. We are held fast to the ground, not by gravity, but by centrifugal force as the Earth rotates. The stars, so goes the theory, that are twinkling chunks of ice suspended high in the air, and the illusion of day and night is caused by the rotating central sun that is half brilliant and half dark. So this theory just kind of like messes with my head, because essentially we would be inside the sphere, but like, wouldn't we see curves, you know? Like, This just twists my brain in different ways. Like, I don't like that theory. I don't think we're on the inside, because especially how we can see space, and I don't think it would be ice, but I don't know. This one hurts my head. Anyways, in 1906, William Reid published The Phantom of the Poles, in which he claims that nobody had found the North or South Poles because they don't exist. Instead, the poles are entrances to the hollow Earth. What do we know about the North Pole? Like, Santa Claus lives there, right? No, but I'm just wondering now, like, why they picked the North Pole to follow along with the Santa Claus story. Or, like, because in theory, coming off of the New World Order book, he claims that Christmas is worshiping the devil, because the Roman Catholic Church was actually evil and planted all these holidays for us to perform rituals for them. So Christmas essentially was worshiping Satan. That's why Satan, it was red, going down the chimney of fire, and all this other stuff that he talks about in the book. But they claim that the North Pole is where Santa's workshop is, right? I mean, that's the story they tell us as kids and stuff. So maybe that has some significance, and why maybe it's the entrance to the other dimension, and I don't know. I'm just trying to connect the dots. But I mean, I'm just trying to connect the dots to predictive programming, essentially, you know? Okay. So in 1913, Marshall B. Gardner privately published Journey to the Earth's Interior, in which he rejected the notion of concentric spheres, but swore that inside the hollow earth was a sun 600 miles in diameter. Gardner, too, claimed that there were huge holes 1,000 miles wide at the poles. So this one is kind of popular. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but Admiral Byrd Expedition. So in 1964, Raymond W. Barnard, an esotericist, I don't know if I'm saying that right, and leader of the Rosicrucians, published The Hollow Earth, the greatest geographical discovery in history made by Admiral Richard E. Byrd in the mysterious land beyond the poles, the true origin of the flying saucers. Admiral Richard E. Byrd of the United States Navy flew to the North Pole in 1926 and over the South Pole in 1929. In his diary, he tells of entering the hollow interior of the earth along with others and traveling 17 miles over mountains, lakes, rivers, green vegetation, and animal life. He tells of seeing tremendous animals resembling the mammoths moving through the brush. He eventually found cities and a thriving civilization. The external temperatures was 74 degrees. His airplane was greeted by flying machines of a type he had never seen before. They escorted him to a safe landing area where he was graciously greeted by emissaries of Agartha. After resting, he and his crew were taken to meet the king and queen of Agartha. They told him that he had been allowed to enter Agartha because of his high moral and ethical character. They went on to say that they worried about the safety of the planet due to the bombs and other testing done above the surface by governments. What did I just talk about? The atomic bomb. What if the Galactic Federation lives underneath us, or the Council does? After the visit, Byrd and his crew were guided back to the surface of the planet. In January of 1956, Admiral Byrd led an expedition to the South Pole. On that expedition, he and his crew penetrated down 2,300 miles into the center of the Earth. Admiral Byrd stated that the North and South Poles were only two of many openings into the center of the Earth. He wrote about seeing a sun below the Earth. Dr. Raymond Barnard tells stories about people who have entered the inner Earth and what has happened to them. It mentions a photograph published in 1960 in the Globe and Mail in Toronto. In Toronto, sorry, Lauren, I know you say you don't pronounce the T's, Toronto, Canada, which shows a beautiful valley with lush hills. An aviator claimed that he had taken the picture while flying into the North Pole. Barnard had also... Wait, do you guys remember how Barnard was the name of the elf in the Santa Claus movie? Just thought of that. Barnard also authored Flying Saucers from the Earth's Interior. His real name was Walter Siegmeister. In his Letters from Nowhere... Barnard claims to have been in contact with great mystics and secret ashrams and with Grand Lamas in Tibet. He was, in short, another Gurdjieff. And Gurdjieff was a mystic philosopher. Dr. Barnard died of pneumonia on September 10, 1965, while searching the tunnel openings to the interior of the Earth in South America. Barnard seems to have accepted every legend ever associated with the Hollow Earth idea, including the notions that the Eskimos originated within the Earth, and an advanced civilization dwells within even now, revving up their UFOs for occasional forays into the thin air. Barnard even accepts that, without question, Shaver's claim that he learned the secret of the relativity before Einstein from the Hollow Earth people. Admiral Byrd actually referred to Antarctica as the land of everlasting mystery. He once wrote, "I'd like to see that the land beyond the North Pole, that area beyond the pole, is the center of the great unknown." Another significant person, which we all hate, I hope you hate, Adolf Hitler. Hitler's top advisors, as well as Hitler himself, believed that the Earth was hollow, and there was at least one expedition by the Nazi military to exploit that belief for strategic advantage during the war. It is thought that Hitler and many of his Nazi followers escaped Germany in the closing days of World War II and fled to Antarctica, where at the South Pole they had discovered an entrance to the Earth's interior. According to the Hollow Earth Research Society in Ontario, Canada, they are still there. Wait, what? So that means the Nazis and Hitler are still hiding in the Hollow Earth? I mean, there was a theory, because in that show that me and Lauren talked about, that's on Amazon, I can't think of it right now, but it's based on the Nazis, how they invaded the US or whatever. They talk about how Hitler was alive after World War II still, or he was in hiding. After the war, the organization claims that allies discovered that more than 2,000 scientists from Germany and Italy had vanished, along with almost a million people to the land beyond the South Pole. This should raise a lot of questions just because Hitler was involved, and we all know Hitler was a part of creating the New World Agenda, New World Order Agenda. So, another way they measure the Earth's mass is by earthquakes, which do provide evidence of some density. However, when they measure an earthquake on a seismograph, the seismograph provides waves. So, when they measure an earthquake, they measure it with the seismograph. I can't even say the word seismograph, which is basically that squiggly line thing on the piece of paper. I'm moving my hand as if you guys can see me, but you can't. But you know what I mean. I know, I'm sure you guys have all seen it. So they have said that most times the earthquake makes the lines and then all of a sudden it goes into a straight line and then it appears again, creating an aftershock. So you're probably like, okay, Kels, where are you going with this? This article I was reading said that it is possible that the reason we get aftershocks is because the waves reverberate in a belt-like zone but appear in the hollow of this ocean only to bounce back. And yes, the theory is that there are oceans down there. I mean, it's a whole other world down there. So, interesting and ironically enough, the first deep holes were dug in Russia in 1970. Surprise, surprise, Russia. And it took them 20 years to make. They discovered unprecedented heat, fossils, and large bodies of water. In 2014, a team of 20 U.S. geophysicists discovered large bodies of water 400 miles into the Earth. So we know that there is proof of large bodies of water, but could that really mean the Earth is hollow? The reason behind the hollow Earth is because of the torus dynamic flow process. The torus is like a donut. Now, I'm not talking about the astrological sign Taurus. It's a Taurus. Because at first when Elizabeth was talking about Taurus, because she ironically talked about it too. I'm telling you, all this information just came all at once to me. I was like, Taurus what? But it's like, I'm sure you guys have seen it. If you look it up, it's like a donut. It's really cool, actually. It's like a donut-shaped energy sphere, I guess. For example, when a smoke ring in air or a bubble ring in water are both very donut-shaped, or an apple and an orange, how they both kind of form toruses, because that core of an apple and a core of an orange, I mean, technically a core of a tangerine is hollow, but, and the core of an apple is not precisely hollow, it's less dense, and it's kind of shaped like how they're describing the hollow Earth, that it's kind of like a heart shape, well, not a heart shape, but you know what I mean. I don't know how to describe it without actually making hand symbols in the air, like as if you can see me, but you can't. They also go on to explain that plants and trees all display the same energy flow process, yet exhibit a wide variety of shapes and sizes. Hurricanes, tornadoes, magnetic fields around planets and stars, and whole galaxies themselves are all toroidal energy systems. Extending this observation of the consistent presence of this flow form into a quantum realm. We can assume that atomic structures and systems are also made of the same dynamic form. I'm telling you, the government knows more than we do. The people know. We look like clowns at this point. So, to wrap this up, what are some facts that we know? Along with the ones that I mentioned about science and gravity and all that earthquake stuff, how energy works and all that. We also know there are large cavern networks all around the world, and they all inhabit different life forms. Each cavern has its own ecosystem who hold their own luminosity and way of living. So doesn't that kind of show proof that there could be a hollow Earth? Also, like I mentioned in the beginning, a lot of ancient legends that are significant to all the theories we were talking about in regards to UFOs, reptilians, all mention giants, tall blue beings, like Avatar, alien-like creatures, reptilians. And in my reptilian episode, I did mention that the reptilians were told to go underground at one point. So could it be that these legends aren't true? We have seen the predictive programming and how it works. Now I have to look through all the movies that exist because they compared to Tarzan, Avatar, what was the other one? I forget. But all the ones that have like mystical earths or mystical worlds, I feel like, are talking about the hollow Earth. A lot of Buddhists believe the hollow Earth is a fact, along with a lot of other cultures. So maybe we do have it all wrong. Some believe that the UFOs come from the Hollow Earth as well, as mentioned before in that story that the guy has seen UFOs come out of the hole. So, I mean, there's also been sightings of reptilian eggs in Antarctica. I actually saw an article of that way before I started studying this. I think I saw it in like July or May, like in the beginning of my research. And people see reptilians walk around, like large reptilians walk around Antarctica. I mean, there's been reports of it. I mean, there's theories of a clone lab in Antarctica and how there's a secret base there that Germany has or whatever. It's just all so weird. It's all connecting. It's all sketchy. I don't believe in coincidences. And I'm losing my voice. Okay, so because I don't want to make this episode any longer, and I'm so sorry I talked really fast, I just don't want to make this super long. But to wrap this up, and so I can move on to questions, there is a lot of evidence. I guess it's all theoretical, but there's a lot of evidence and talk about Hollow Earth more than there is of the Flat Earth. And I think this could potentially be true, especially the people who have claimed to have actually gone in the Hollow Earth. I mean, as for me, I do trust people who remote view or astral project. That's just my belief. That's just my preference. And I do trust Elizabeth April, and she's talked about it too, how she's seen it while she's astral projecting. So I just kind of believe this one more than the Flat Earth. This guy was talking about the Illuminati card games, and there's a specific card where it says, "Everyone's laughing at the Flat Earthers, but they might be onto something." So it's kind of saying the Earth might not be flat, but they might be onto something. That we're not being told the whole truth about the Earth. Those Illuminati cards from the Illuminati card game have a lot of predictive programming and have talked about the Twin Towers, have talked about what is going on now with the virus and martial law and all that stuff. So they even have like a card that looks like Trump. And I think I mentioned this, but I got a similar card game. It's not the original one because they stopped making it. I thought it was the original one, but it's a newer version. So it doesn't have all these cool things on it. But I haven't even opened it, to be honest. I opened like one deck and I was very disappointed that it wasn't like the ones that I've been seeing. So I just gave up and I put it away. But I'll probably open it again and tell you guys what I find. Okay, enough of me ranting. Let's go on to questions. Okay, first one. Hey, first off, I followed you since your first couple conspiracy videos before you had a huge following, and I've loved to see your content and support your base grow. You've helped so many people wake up, and it makes me so happy to see the community of us who are woke grow. Love your content and keep doing you. So I do some acting and modeling, and at my last shoots, somehow the topic of conspiracies got brought up. They particularly mentioned adrenochrome and child trafficking, the Wayfair situation. This was right as the story came out. I was testing the waters to remain professional and also because I was hoping they'd talk, lol. So I just said that I have heard a lot of theories and sometimes it's hard to know which is to believe. They looked at each other and got serious. And just said they definitely aren't theories. Whoa. They changed the subject quick back to the photo shoot. That was my first experience of people who know big names of the industry saying that out loud. So I thought it was interesting. I also noticed the makeup artist had the red all-seeing eye tattooed covering her palm. She didn't give off any strong negative or evil vibes. And I'm normally pretty in tune with that. But something didn't feel quite right. I also noticed she had a Hail Satan sticker on her makeup tote. It was slightly covered by others, but I made out that much of it. I don't know if that means anything, and for that tattoo, I'm not sure if it means she's with them or if it's some sort of protection from them. Would you know what that means? Thanks again for all you do. Sorry, this is so long. Wow. Okay. First of all, don't apologize. Like I mentioned in my last episode, I love long ones. I love all these experiences you guys send in because it gives almost more evidence that this stuff isn't just a theory. And I want to thank you for being there from the beginning. Thank you so much for sticking by my side. I know a lot of you who have been there since day one, and I love growing with you guys and having you guys there with me and not believing I'm absolutely insane. So thank you. I love you guys. So most of the times in regards to the tattoo question, when people get an eye-seeing tattoo or all-seeing eye tattoo, it symbolizes the pineal gland, aka the all-seeing eye. The reason it's so prominent and basically made evil is because the elite Illuminati are more aware of the fact that we all do indeed have a pineal gland, and they choose to take advantage of that, and they use theirs for evil. They honestly probably have known about the fluoride thing and all the other stuff, and they aren't poisoned with that stuff. And they use it for their own benefit. We all have the power to do that, though. And I know a lot of spiritual people who also have the eye tattoo solely for the reason of them acknowledging their higher self. If you didn't feel the energy heavy, then it probably doesn't mean anything too drastic. But the Hail Satan sticker is kind of unsettling. If I were you, I would just protect myself energetically if I'm going to be around them a lot. Also, it is the industry, like you said, that you are acting and modeling with these people. And the fact that they said that this isn't a theory just blows my mind. Because obviously, like, at this point, I know that's true. I know that these theories in regards to the trafficking and the satanic stuff that goes on, I believe it to be true. And I don't care who calls me crazy or whatever. Just like, there's so much evidence now that it's screaming at me like, bro, this is what's going on. Like, save the fucking kids, you know? So that's crazy that that we're just casually talking about it. It's almost insulting because they know about it, but they're not doing anything about it. It's kind of insulting in a way that all these other artists are also in on it or know of it and aren't speaking up. And I know there's a lot of things that get in the way of that, especially because it's literally their career and they can't risk that, but it's so sad. But I'm sending you love and light, and I hope you don't get intertwined with that bad energy. But thank you so much again. Wow, I'm losing my voice. Alright, next question. I agree with you with QAnon being a psyop. These people call themselves quote-unquote woke, yet don't see beyond their conservative views and can't see how it's not only Democrats that are bad, and Trump is not our savior either. Also, they are all very influenced by the Bible and religion. If they were really quote-unquote woke, they would see how the Bible isn't reality and spirituality is a second step of becoming awakened. Okay, so I know this isn't a question, but I did want to throw this in here. Not because I want to throw it in anyone's face or anything like that, but it just ties into everything that Dolores Cannon talked about too. Without having mentioned any quote-unquote conspiracy theory, she claims that source told her that church and religion were purposely placed in the form of control. And like I've mentioned before, in other books, they have said the same thing. So I completely agree with this, and I just think it's crazy that people will strictly follow this religion and stuff and be mean to others who don't follow it or bash on people who practice spirituality, when didn't Jesus want everyone to love each other and live in harmony and peace, not judge each other? But that's exactly what they're doing, and it's just so ironic. So that's why I don't like religion and how it's placed on. I've never liked it personally. That's why, like I mentioned, that when I was a kid, I felt so uncomfortable in church. I just didn't feel it was right. And I felt like I was betraying God in a way. And now everything that I've been intuitively feeling and thinking and believing kind of coincides with everything I've been told, with all this information about how God is not even a man. And it's a light source energy of love. And that makes so much more sense to me. And even in a story that Dolores talked about, she had I think it was Louise, the first story, the reason she had the throat tumor. I didn't mention this just because I didn't want it to spark controversy, but now that you mentioned this, I kind of want to throw this in here. So she mentioned that she had the tumor in her throat because she wasn't speaking her truth, and her truth in regards to that she didn't believe in the church, and she intuitively felt the same thing that I'm feeling, but she kept going, and people always judged her for her other beliefs if she ever spoke out on it, so she just became quiet. And source was telling Louise, or speaking through Louise, and saying that church was man-made and put to manipulate, and people are losing connection to source because they are following something else, which is crazy to think about, you know, and I don't want to disrespect anyone, but I'm just throwing that in there. It was in the book if you guys want to read the book, but it's also what I've been intuitively thinking. But honestly, like, the more I become more spiritually aligned with Source by my own spiritual path and doing all this stuff, the more I feel like I'm vibrating at a higher level, the happier I am. Like, everything's so much clearer. I've healed a lot of trauma that I've been through. It's insane. So yeah, it's one of those in here. Sorry, I talk a lot. Okay, moving on. What are your thoughts on psychedelics, and have you ever tried them? So I think psychedelics are a tool for us to see how the world really is, at least from what I've heard with people experiencing these solemnly on a spiritual level. When they do it, they have awakened to a new reality. I've had people that I personally know find their life path or make decisions. One of them even continued onto law school because they were told that that's what they needed to do. I think just how I mentioned that we have free will and are given these tools to see what we do with them, they can be used incorrectly as well. So if you have good intentions and want to try it, I think it's a great experience. I have only tried MDMA, which is also known as Molly or ecstasy, but one, I wasn't doing it for the right reason. I was at a music festival. Two, I wasn't in the greatest mindset. So I didn't have the greatest experience with it. I mean, for an hour or two, it was pretty amazing. And I think if I did it now, I don't think I would do MDMA. But if I did any other psychedelic, like ayahuasca, I really want to do ayahuasca or shrooms, I feel like I would have a way different experience. And I don't know, I feel like I'd be shown a lot. But even Elizabeth April has talked about this before. I think she deleted that video, actually. But she has said that when she would do it in college, she obviously would do it for spiritual reasons. She even did it with her dad one time, and it just cleared up a lot of things and made everything more visible and heightened their intuition, all this stuff. But she said they're just tools. You don't need them. Just like in regards to working out, you don't need pre-workout and protein to work out. They're just tools. Sorry, I just had to tie that in. Okay, last one. My sister saw a tall, dark figure with long fingers wave at her and has been seeing things. What should I do to help her? I gave her a crystal to sleep with and put eggshells in the corners of her room. Oh my gosh. Okay, hello. Honestly, this sounds like a tall gray, which is a type of alien that is most commonly seen in houses, and some people confuse this with a demonic attack or a haunting. You should also try the visualization technique that I shared in my last episode of a light shield surrounding your home. You can also line the door with black salts. You can find those at a spiritual shop, or I think Amazon has them. Just make sure they're legit. Black candles are a form of protection too. So like I said, spiritual shops might have those. Someone sent me one when I was being spiritually attacked too, so it really helped. Say some prayers or affirmations, whatever resonates with you, that you are protected and surrounded by love and light. And just try to raise your overall frequency of the house, because they do feed off low vibration and fear. So we have to raise the vibration so they can scoot out of there. So don't be scared. Also, like I've said, the veil is thinning. So we're going to see a lot of things in the corner of our eyes, or sometimes these things pop up out of nowhere. So hopefully this doesn't bother her anymore and it just was passing by. But yeah, I hope that helps, really though. Alrighty guys, we have made it to the end. There was actually a lot more that I wanted to talk about Hollow Earth, but I just don't want to make it too long. But there's a lot of things from Antarctica that I guess could be another episode. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed. This was so interesting to research, and I love how all this information is just being thrown at me right now by the universe. I really think that this was just all placed on my lap at once, especially like the Dolores Cannon stuff and all that stuff. So I am going to continue reading these books, both of them, The Magic is Real and The Three Waves of Volunteers, because I feel like it relates to a lot of the things we're going through right now. So I will report back to you guys on those books. If you have any questions or want to be in my next episode, I honestly read these questions on every episode, even the bonus ones, because I want to go through all of them and there's a lot. So if you want to submit your own, the link is in my bio on my Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, at Woke with Kels, and TikTok is at Kels Cortez. If you want to follow my personal accounts, they're at Kelsey Cortez with an S. And let me know if any of you guys experience any weird things like this as well. I love hearing your stories. It's funny. Yesterday, I was hanging out with my friend and she was like, what have you been up to and all this? And I was like, well, I have a podcast. And she was like, no way, Kels. And I was telling her all this stuff about my other accounts and stuff because I don't post anything on my regular account. And she was like, what the fuck? When did this happen? She was like, what happened? And like, I told her the whole TikTok story and all that. She's like, you're basically Hannah Montana, like living two lives. I'm like, yeah, but I kind of like keeping it this way just because, one, a lot of the things I talk about are very controversial. Two, not a lot of people have the capacity or mind capabilities of processing all this because it does tie in with a lot of spirituality and religion aspects that a lot of people have different views on, so I don't want to spark a fire, especially with close friends. So it's just very controversial things that I don't want other people getting involved that I personally know. I mean, some people have seen that they've seen my content just pop up on their Facebook because people have reposted my videos on Facebook or YouTube, but they don't really say anything else. So if you know me in real life and you're listening to this, what's up? but yeah, that's why I don't really post anything on my personal accounts. But I do post a lot on At Woke with Kels, so follow me there. And yeah, I hope you guys have an amazing Friday. I hope you guys enjoyed this. And if anything else happens, I know a lot is going on right now. I will let you know on Tuesday. Make sure to find something that makes you happy right now because there's a lot of heavy energy going on around the world right now, especially, like I said, all this shit happening. So make sure to stay off social media for a while or stop watching the TV, go do something you like, go out in nature, go take a walk, like keep your vibrations high. We have to start raising our vibrations as a whole, and we have to start spreading more love and positivity if we all want to shift together to this new reality and this new dimension. So I am energetically sending you guys all love, and I hope you guys have an amazing day. I hope something or someone makes you smile today, or I hope you make someone smile. You're just spreading all love and light. Think positive things. Everything's going to be okay. See ya in 5D. Okay. Love you guys. Bye.